For the next 2 weeks. I'd like to take a moment to draw your attention to the back of the bulletin with the announcements. If you're interested in the Monday evening Bible study, please contact Lori Kleindienst. Her email's in the bulletin. And you'll see we have the prayer request from past week, but we'd like to bring your attention to the birthdays and anniversaries. Peter Olson's birthday is on the 3rd, and Jean Blunt's coming up next weekend. Craig and Heidi Evans' anniversary is also on the 3rd, and this week is also the 10th anniversary for Will Solchenko and Emily Franz. Are there any other announcements? Yes, Paula.
I'd just like to say that Zoom for the Teze on Wednesday is still happening, even though Joel will not be with us.
Okay.
The same link that was in the bulletin in the past couple of weeks will still work.
Okay. So Paula's reminding us the Teze service on Wednesday will still happen over Zoom. The previous link still works. And Jeremy, can we put that also up on the Facebook page again?
Sure.
From the past bulletin? Thank you. So now's the time we take a moment to greet our neighbors and pass the peace. So feel free to stand up and greet your neighbors as you feel comfortable.
Double guns. Only if you feel that in your heart. Good morning, please.
Peace, Jeremy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
responsive call to worship is printed in your bulletin. Look to the mountains, look to the hills.
Love comes to us with joy.
The world is filled with beauty.
Flowers appear on the earth. Birdsong brightens the day.
Crops yield their produce in abundance, and the air is filled with sweetness.
The summer of God's love is with us.
Let the oil of gladness anoint your souls.
Arise and sing for joy.
Our first hymn is Fairest Lord Jesus, number 189 in the Large Blue Hymnal. All the hymns this morning are from the Large Blue Hymnal. Together to celebrate your boundless love and gifts, let us open our spirits to receive your direction and call. Amen. So now's the time where we'd have anybody, any children, young people who are in the sanctuary, come forward to join in a children's time. But it appears everybody's at home, probably still snuggled in their pajamas, hopefully having pancakes or waffles. We do have, you'll be able to follow along at home, but I'm going to make the young at heart help me with this children's time. I have some pictures I'd like, or one picture that I'd like to share. I have multiple copies, so I'm going to pass them around and just pass them along. And look at this and see what you see in this picture. And just take a moment to pass it along. I think Jeremy's got the picture, oops, up for the live stream. Got one to share with the folks up here.
Is it a Russia test? I've seen that.
Yes. So it looks like a simple picture, but what do people here in the sanctuary see?
Looks like a rabbit.
A rabbit?
I see a duck.
But you see a duck?
Yeah.
A bird? So when you look at this picture, you can see the rabbit. His ears are here, his eye and his little nose. But if you kind of look this way, you see the bird's eye and the bird's beak, the duck's beak, or bill. So are the people who said it looked like a rabbit, are they wrong? Are the people who saw the duck, did they see it? Or were they wrong?
Yeah.
Who's right? One of the quickest children's messages on too.
They saw it, they were on it. They saw what they saw.
Yes. And that's the way it is that there's rarely one right answer. I think most of us who have made it to this point in life know that. And in one of the readings that we're going to hear today, James tells us to be slow to speak and quick to listen. And I think it's interesting when we do listen to other people, we find out that we all view things differently, or we all have a different perspective. And sometimes what other people see helps us have a broader view. Because I could have taken this off earlier. But, so that's always good to get the other perspective.
And our first reading today is Psalm 15, The Voice. Eternal One, who is invited to stay in your dwelling? Who is granted passage to your holy mountain? Here is the answer. The one who lives with integrity, does what is right, and speaks honestly with truth from the heart. The one who doesn't speak evil against others, or wrong his neighbor, or slander his friends. The one who loathes the loathsome, honors those who fear the eternal, and keeps all promises no matter the cost. The one who does not lend money with gain in mind and cannot be bought to harm an innocent name. If you live this way, you will not be shaken and will live together with the Lord. Our hymn of response is number 140, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Please stand if you are able.
Thank you.
second reading is from 1 James, verses 17 through 27. This is from the New International Version. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all the moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. This reading comes early in 1 James, this book is believed to be a letter written to the Christians spread throughout the Roman Empire. And it's a short book, and it's basically viewed as an instructions on how to live a Christian life. When I read this particular passage in preparation for today, I was caught by verse 19 and 20. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, because human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. That direction is kind of spread home a little more at the end in verse 26. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves. It seems in the past decade there has been so much to be angry about, so much injustice to rail about, elections that didn't go the way we wanted, racial violence, sexual abuse, immigration policies, COVID, whether or not to mask, whether or not to get the vaccine. It doesn't matter which side you're on, there is always something to be angry about, and it seems that we're all being encouraged to take our sides, to force other people to see things our way, and to ostracize those who don't agree with us. I mean, how many of us have experienced the fracturing of our families, lifelong friendships falling apart, divisiveness among neighbors over any of these issues? It seems like we live in a world where there are two opinions, our opinion and the wrong opinion. And those who don't agree with us can quickly become our enemies. We're encouraged throughout the Bible to do what is right and to stand up for injustice. I mean, one of my favorite verses is Micah 6:8 that tells us, you know, the Lord God has told us what is right and what he demands to see that justice is done. If we're slow to speak, if we don't speak our truth, are we avoiding justice? I think a lot of us struggle with that. And for me, the answer is, I don't think we are avoiding justice if we're slow to speak. I think we all need to heed what James says, to listen first before we speak, to listen, and also to listen to our own anger and what is behind it. When I was a college student studying social work, one of the first lessons we heard is that as humans, we tend to listen to respond rather than listen to understand. But if someone's telling you about their trip to Maine, you're only half listening because you're already formulating how you're going to tell them about the trip you took to Maine the year before. And that's just human nature. And when we're talking about someone's telling you about why they think vaccines are right or wrong, you're forming the rebuttal in your head about how you're going to convince them that your opinion is better. It's more important, we were taught, and I was taught this when I studied customer service and when I studied even librarianship and social work, that we really need to listen to understand. Not listen to the person that you're talking to, hear what they're saying, and then if I listen and take a moment to think, if I pause before I speak, and then I responded third, preferably with a question about what they just said, my conversations were going to be deeper and richer and more productive. That the person I'm talking with is going to feel like they were heard and that they're cared for. These are all ways we show respect for the other person, and right there, we create a common ground. After 9/11, a teacher friend introduced me to the book Why We Hate by Rush Dozier, and I think I've mentioned this before. It takes a look about how our brains get to hate. And it started in prehistoric times when the fight for survival was the most important task that we had every day. Our fight or flight instincts ruled our every move. We had to use fear, would tell us when we had to flee, and served as that critical emotion to protect us from being killed by animals. If we felt that sense of fear, we knew something was bad. Bad equals the enemy, and anger and hate also manifested itself out of that fear. As society progressed, we didn't need that fight and flight instinct so much, but it still lives in our brain. It still protects us when it needs to. Now we fear things that threaten our sense of well-being. For some of us, it can be the snake in our garden that we scream and we hate snakes. I posted a picture of a snake on my Facebook. Jeremy and I found it and I picked it up, but it was so cool. And it was amazing how many people said, I'm going to have to unfriend you if you post more pictures of snakes, you know? But it can also be things about, we hate something or fear someone's political beliefs, especially if we feel they're threatening our own freedoms. It's as the book progresses, Dozier points out how we find people similar to us to be with, and as a group, we often tend to hate people who are different from us because we're afraid. Often that hate is based in fear. And he talks about how peace talks in the Middle East throughout history or in other parts of the United or the other parts of the world often are more successful when all parties are in the same room together and there's a mediator helping them talk about what is important to them. For me, the example that he mentioned that came home was a teachers' union and a school board in a small town. There was picketing, there were strikes, there were threatening teachers, the board was threatening to replace the teachers, and everybody was living in a state of fear. He mediated, he got them into the room together, and they didn't necessarily talk about the demands. They talked about why what they were asking for was important to each of them individually, so that the board got to see the teachers as real people, and the teachers got to see it from the board's point of view. It took a while, but they came to a common ground. And the bottom line is the more you know about the person you view as your opponent, the better you know them as a human being, the less likely you are to fear them. A decade ago, for a while I attended St. Paul's in St. Albans, and we had a pastor, her name was Pastor Marge, and she was as motherly and jovial as her name kind of invokes. She frequently used the phrase, name your anger. She used it with her children and with her parishioners. And it started, she said, this started when her children were young. She had been taught as the mother of adopted children that often children act out in anger when something else is bothering them, when they are scared. And so one day her son came home and he threw his backpack across the kitchen table, knocking off the snack that was there for him and his sister, pushed his sister out of the way. He was teasing his sister. He went in his room, slammed the door, and she went in and got him to sit down. And she's saying, "What are you angry about?" And he was like, "I don't know." And she started asking him about his day. And it turns out that one of his classmates had been picking on him, you know, about his clothes, saying that he looked funny. And this made her son feel insecure, like nobody would like him, and that he didn't fit in with the rest of the kids. And that just kind of snowballed into this anger. And she helped him figure out how to take action, that one, his clothes were fine, and how he might respond to the person the next day. Once that anger was named, once that fear, his fear of not being liked and not being included, was named, they were able to come up with a solution. And that's what Pastor Marge helped us do as well. It's like, what are you angry about? And once you figure out somebody comes into church and they want to change how we do something, and you're like, well, I don't like them. And it's like, it's because they're taking away your sense of order and your comfort of how things are. You know, once you figure out what the fear is, you can move forward. And I think that's what James is trying to tell us. Listen, not just to the other person, but to yourself. What's getting us going? Our first result when someone hurts us is to jump back and defend ourselves. But we need to pause and listen. For me, the phrase on the front of the bulletin and the quotes at the top, "Practice the pause," are my way of reminding myself how to do that. Take a deep breath. If 10 seconds go by and I don't respond, or if I tell someone, you know, I need to think about that. The world's not going to come to an end. So during my 30s, young 30s, I had a friend. I was a full-time mom with 3 little boys. I was blessed to be able to work at home, you know, to stay at home, and did a lot of baking from scratch because it was cheaper than buying the store-bought cookies. My friend Anne invited me and another one of her friends, Betty, over for the evening. I wasn't really happy about this because Anne knew that I did not like Betty. You know, we'd grown up together. Betty was not my favorite person. Anne also knew that the reason I didn't like Betty is because Betty had a successful business. Betty always had really nice suits and dresses, and her hair was perfectly coiffed. She just, to me, she was the epitome of style. And she had a child, but she worked outside of the home, and she drove a new car, and I was just hoping mine would pass inspection. And, you know, I thought she had it made, and I was really intimidated by her. But Anne said it was important and invited me to come, so I did. And when I got there, she sat Betty and I down in the living room, and she pulled a fast one on us. She said, "Narda, did you know that Betty is intimidated by you? You stay home and you're able to keep your patience and stay home with your kids all day, and you take them on excursions and you bake them cookies and you go on their field trips and you volunteer in the library and you do all these things at church." And she feels so inadequate because she has to work all the time. And then she said, "Betty, do you know how much you intimidate Narda?" And she said all the things I just said. And, you know, there's Betty and I looking at each other like, "Oh, really?" Betty was seeing a duck and I was seeing a bunny. You know? But we were both women who were just trying to raise our kids and make it through the day as best we could. And Betty and I are good friends now. But it really, I was scared by Betty, when in reality, all I had to do was sit down and get to know her. So, if I follow James's instructions and Dozier's advice, Pastor Marge's counsel, I need to listen to understand. I need to practice the pause and come back with questions. Why is that important to you? Why did you make that decision? I don't understand. I feel, can you explain to me why? And once we open ourselves up to asking and listening, instead of shutting down others down, our fear will decrease. We start to realize there are other perceptions. and that the person we may have thought about as an enemy is actually a human being. When we know where they're coming from, we can respond with love, even as we express our own take on the issue at hand. Because we truly listen, the other person will feel valued and maybe more open to sharing why they feel the way they do, and often listen to us in return, give us our moment. We're creating a safe space for that dialogue, not battle. And by creating that space, there's a greater chance for finding common ground. And right off the top, I'm not saying just because you listen to someone means you're going to agree with them. You know, diversity, we need the diversity of views, and we need, there's rarely one right answer, even though I'm pretty sure I know a lot of them. But so after the 2016 election, I was totally flummoxed by the outcome. I did not see it coming. I mean, how could so many people be wrong? And by that, how could so many people vote differently than I did? And I knew my choice was the right choice, seriously. And it seemed completely absurd to me that anyone would have voted a different way. And for those of you who remember my mom, you won't be surprised that as she and I talked about it the day after the election, she's like, there's something we don't know. There's got to be a reason why the vote was so split and why so many people chose to vote the other way. And my mom was a librarian and I was a librarian, so we started listening and researching. And I pretty much discovered that my view of the world is rooted in New England, specifically in Vermont, and I view the world on those eyes. I didn't know what was going on in the Midwest. I didn't know economic struggles, racial distrust. I really didn't know anything about what others were experiencing and what their fears were. It didn't change my mind, but it helped me understand that we are a nation of broad experiences, and those experiences result in a wide range of what is right and what is wrong. And it really, really sent the message home that I need to do more work listening and understanding to people other than those just the closest to me. If I want the world to change, I need to figure out what other people see as the problem so that we can come to a way to solve it. Don't know if any of you are familiar with StoryCorps. StoryCorps is a national program where they go out and collect stories. They invite two people, often family members or friends, to ask each other questions and share stories while they're being recorded. And then these stories are shared on broadcast, but they're also archived so that if you have a mother and daughter talking, their talk can be found 50 years from now. And a couple years ago, they launched a project with the help of NPR called One Small Step. Jeremy's going to put the link in the live feed to the two podcasts and to the website, and they'll also be on the Facebook page for everyone here to look at afterwards. What they did is they've brought together, instead of people who knew each other, they asked for people who were interested in doing this to meet with a total stranger who felt totally different than they did. Might have been on the election, it might have been on LGBTQ rights, it may have been on racism, abortion. There was no topic that was off the table. And it was really fascinating to listen to these 2 one-hour broadcasts because these strangers would come in and you could tell, listening to their voices, they were both a little defensive. But as they started talking, you could feel them relaxing as they found all this common ground on why in their lives, and as they started talking about their backgrounds and how it made them feel the way they did. Like I said, I don't think anyone's mind was swayed, but it was a wonderful example of the conversations that can happen if we listen to understand, if we practice the pause, and if everyone is quick to listen, slow to speak, by remembering that what I see as a duck, you may see as a rabbit, we're opening the door to understanding and not judgment. By understanding, we can be better Christians and start to bring the world to a more peaceful place. And that's it. Do we have? Yes, okay, so if you would join me in singing hymn 368, My Hope Is Built, Standing as You Are Able. Bulletin are the prayer requests from the last couple of weeks. And if you're online, please enter them in the chat. Does anyone have prayers to share? Don?
David Jones asks prayers for his cousin Don and Bill Sutton on the loss of their son Scott.
David Jones asks for prayers for Dot and Bill Sutton on the loss of their son. Yes.
My name is Fred, and I'd like prayers for my brother Michael, who's recently been diagnosed with liver cancer, and he's doing well, thank God, and his therapy seems to be responsive, but prayers for my brother Michael, please.
Okay, so Fred asked for prayers for his brother Michael, who is facing a battle with liver cancer and is doing well at the moment.
Prayers for the people in and around New Orleans as the hurricane intensifies.
Allison's asking for prayers for the people in the around New Orleans as they're preparing for the storm.
For my son, Ray.
What's his name?
Greg?
Yes.
His work situation.
Okay. For Greg, who's facing a tumultuous work situation, Donna.
Kirk Holmes is having a tumor removal from his kidney on Thursday.
So Kirk Holmes has a kidney tumor which will be removed Thursday. The ones online?
Yeah. Leif Johnson would like to lift up Bob Amos and his family as they go through mourning his loss.
Any others? I invite you to join me in a time of prayer. And Lord God, friend of those in need, your Son Jesus has untied our burdens and healed our spirits. We lift up the prayers of our hearts for those who are still burdened, those seeking healing, for Kirk, for Michael, and for Bob and Bill Sutton as they face the loss of their son, for the family of Bob Amos following his death, those in need within the church and the world, for the people of New Orleans as they face the storm, for Greg and others who are unhappy or unsure in their work situations. Hear our prayers for all we've lifted up in past weeks, those that we hold silently in our heart, and those who hold their needs quietly. Hear all our prayers that we may love you with our whole being, and willingly share the concerns of our neighbors as we join together in the prayer that Jesus taught the disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So, we're still practicing social distancing and good hygiene. So, instead of passing the offering plate around, there are offering plates in the back and at the front, where you may leave your offering at the end of the service. You can also mail it to the address, the post office address on the back of the bulletin as well. And with that, I'd like you to rise for the blessing, followed by the singing of our benediction as printed in the bulletin. Blessed Father, whose word of truth we have been born, from whose word of truth we have been born as first fruits of your creatures. Make us quick to listen, make us slow to speak, that the word implanted in us may take root to nourish all our living, and that we may be blessed in our doing and fruitful in our actions. Amen.